Weekend Explorer on ABC Perth.
Chris Parry, hello.
Hello, Ro. How are you?
Yeah, I'd be better if you weren't shining that light in my eyes from your helmet.
They do say if the cap fits. In this case, I don't think I can wear it.
It's not particularly well.
I'll take it off.
Hey, good news for you.
What's that?
You've made a few people happy already.
Have I?
And you've just started speaking.
Well, you've made them happy because you made the big announcement, not me.
No, not about the big announcement.
Oh, okay.
It's about the track I just played.
Ah, well done.
Yeah.
It is one of the all-time, isn't it? It's you can put it on so many playlists, whether it's a road trip, classic WA rock.
Yep.
Music to drive by.
Our ABC Radio Perth Drive colleague, Jo Trilling, she knows good music.
Ah,
and she sent a cracker tune with a couple of kisses, so she's happy this Saturday morning.
Thank you, Joe.
Hope you have a relaxing morning after a big week, Joe Trilling. Good job again. And Barbara in St. James, Chris Parry, I love the fact that you love the Triffids as I do. Thank goodness we can continue amazing David McComb and his Triffids. I'm loving this track, Wide Open Road.
You want to know a fun fact about Wide Open Road?
Hit me with it.
Well, it actually wasn't recorded here in Western Australia. They recorded it in England.
Ah.
When they were trying to make it big, which I think for me, you put more emotion into it because they were quite homesick.
Yeah.
They weren't really making it, weren't getting a lot of airplay and all that sort of stuff. So that take you here is when they were all ready to come home.
I want to play it again now and listen back with that lens. No. We have not far better, but as good things to talk about this morning because Kalgoorlie is where you're taking us to for Weekend Explorer.
Well, you might be taking us to Kalgoorlie, but I'm taking us to Cal because you can only call it that if you've lived there.
So Chris Parry walked into the studio this morning. He sat down and I said, we're off to Cal. He goes, have you ever lived there? And I said, no. And he said, well, you can't call it that.
Can't call it that.
Gosh, rude. Yeah. Yep. What's the threshold then? How, as long as you've been there?
That's a really interesting point because when I moved to Kalgoorlie, everyone said, if you're here for 2 years, you'll be here for 10. I was there for a bit longer than two and a bit less than 10.
You proved them wrong.
Yeah.
But you fond memories of those four years or so?
Absolutely. Look, I'd had a regional upbringing anyway.
Yeah. Where was that? That you?
It was a town called, yeah. But in the town where I grew up, if you went out for dinner, you knew everyone around you. Kalgoorlie was big enough that you could have a Valentine's Day dinner and maybe, just maybe, the people around you didn't know. But it was still small enough to do your Saturday morning walk down the main street.
Yeah.
And bump into people. I love a walk down the main street on a Saturday morning.
Well, we may have talked about main streets as just a standalone subject on this very show with you, Chris Parry. Yep. Scotto in Basie possibly is just going to take every bit of your thunder and tell us in one text why Kalgoorlie is so fabulous. It's the place of huge and delicious pub meals, he writes, probably the best in the state. York Hotel gets a special mention. Also, race round, Cal Cup is criminally underpromoted in Perth, Scotto says. Regularly get 15,000 to 20,000 and the town absolutely hums. Cal is a top joint.
I was just having a chat with Ebony, who hasn't been to Kalgoorlie, and it's okay. So you can do, this is the great thing about Kalgoorlie, is how you get there. Don't go there by plane. Get there by Prospector on the train or drive there, turn it into that really cool road trip. But for Ebony, it can be a family trip and there's a lot there that we can go through. Mm-hmm. Or you can go there with your girlfriends or any friends for race round.
Mm-hmm.
And I described it to Eb.
She's taking Pete for race round.
All right. Well, race round is a bit like a bowl of nachos. It starts off looking so lovely and pretty, but is messy really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And while there's fashions on the fields, they really need to have lack of fashions on the fields as well. And for me, it's a wonderful event and it continues on after the day's racing. You know, the pubs, I love that description, you know, when pubs are heaving.
Yeah.
You know, and they really do. There's just so much atmosphere and it's just wonderful. And for the years that I was there, I always had friends come out. And, you know, and we'd just walk around town, walk into the pubs after a day at the track.
I instantly now think of legendary ABC resources reporter Babs McHugh and Diggers and Dealers and the big conference on every year. She could probably fill a 25-minute segment just on
your boots
tales from those few days as well, which is obviously a big time as well when Cal's absolutely humming.
And
Kalgoorlie,
I'm
sorry.
That's right. Thank you. And the other thing around Kalgoorlie Cowal and the Goldfields is when I was there, Wynn had just started to compete with GWN.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I remember and that it was change. Wonderful to get to get two commercial stations. But it reminded me of news stories about the Goldfields on GWN. They'd always begin here in the Goldfields. Things are done differently. There was always this edge to the stories, this parochial difference.
Very good. You know, the 50-minute flight is kind of nice. I know you think we should have to train and prospector and all that sort of stuff.
That must be into a headwind because I reckon you can do it in 45.
You're probably right, but you often, going into the East, I must say, it is a short flight, but I don't think I've ever had a smooth flight.
Look, I'm faking it in the viz, but for all those blokes and ladies that are wearing viz on those flights, it's enough time. I've seen it done to put down more than two pies. The pies are handed out by those flight attendants, and give me another one is the call.
Yeah. We have got a friend of yours and a regular voice, well, across all forms of media, who's called in, and I believe she spent a bit of time out in the Goldfields as well. Chrissy Morrissey, hello.
Hello, team.
Hello, Chrissy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm a bit worried.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm just thinking back.
Were you in Cal at the same time?
Kalgoorlie, no, I was sorry. Actually born in Cal. So I was born with the Shire of Coolgardie stamped on my bum, as my mother-in-law used to call it. And my granddad, his nickname was Nugget Kent, because when he was a little boy, his head was bald and gold and shiny, like a gold nugget. They called him Nugget Kent. So we're old Kalgoorlie. He used to run a store called Monty's, which was one of two last stores in Australia to have these people, older people may remember, you didn't have a cash register. You used to put your money into a little tube, and you used to go whizzing up the top to a central place where the lady used to count the money and give you the change, and she'd whiz it back down these little tubes to you. It was just amazing. So Grandad ran that, and then Grandad had a dance band in Kalgoorlie. And like Chris said, we went back for 2 years. I married my husband. He was Everett's Butchers, which is Kalgoorlie Institution, excuse me. We went back for 2 years and we stayed for seven. Once you get in there, you can't get out. It's really, really hard. And you talked about the high vis. When we eventually came back to Perth, because we had four kids when we were back there, there was a lot to do, trust me, but we also had four kids. And I was working at the ABC as well. Can you imagine it, Rosa? You know where your producer is sitting right now?
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't say this because Sarah Knight might be listening. But occasionally I would have a baby or small children out there in the soundproof room with the door locked. So they couldn't get to me while I was doing what you're doing now. It was hilarious. But when we came back to Perth, the kids were all looking around going, all the daddies here and the mummies are very boring. I said, why, kids? And they said, because they all wear these boring colours. They missed the high vis at the school assembly and stuff. But, Chris was talking about the race round in particular. And if you do go to the race round, you must take them to see the Kalgoorlie Racing Museum, which is just amazing. It's got everything from the original dunny seats, from the original toilets, which are wooden, to real... like Blue Spec, and Blue Spec was the first horse from the Goldfields to win the race that stopped the nation. Oh, and I didn't actually know it existed. It has this, after being born there and growing up there, I'd always pass the sign that said Kalgoorlie Race Museum and never gone in. And we went in to film it when I was with Destination WA a few years ago, and I went, oh my gosh, this is bloody gold. It is gold. And I, as a local, I'd never bothered to go into it because I was so busy going out and eating ants. And we have ants with little bottoms that have made it like a honey. You can, there's all these amazing experiences people don't put together with Kalgoorlie. And I thought, oh, a museum, not going in there. So glad I did it. And people should go and see that.
Very good, Chrissy. Any other absolute recommendations for anyone heading out that way?
Heart Walk. So a couple of years ago, Chris, you know the Heart Walk that they put in?
And yep.
And they've got people like Stormy Mills, all sorts of amazing artists and local bush artists to contribute. So there was a problem, a few years ago when gold had a bit of a downturn. There were many empty shops, et cetera. So they were looking at ways of rejuvenating the centre of Kalgoorlie. And they did it with this amazing art trail. And some of the stories some of the pictures are historical stories, and some of it just amazing artwork. But you can download an app, or you can get a brochure from the tourist bureau, and you can walk around and follow this trail of art throughout Kalgoorlie Boulder. It's great.
Beautiful.
Brilliant.
Chrissy, thanks for giving us a call. Always lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
That's okay, team. Bye. See you. Cal.
My cold sweat has now disappeared. She didn't reveal anything.
Yeah. Keep the secrets close. I've got a text here. The prospect is an experience in itself, and you get to see the vast landscape and miles upon miles of red dirt. You need to do it at least once just to experience it. Thank you very much. If you've got a Kalgoorlie tale or a tip to share, 0437 922 720. Shane's given us a call. Good morning, Shane.
Yeah, g'day, right? How are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you. Memories of Cal?
Yeah, memories of Cal. I used to live near Hay Street, where the brothels were.
Here we go.
And this old timer gave me a tip. He goes, go down there early in the morning and you'll find gold. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, just go down there. And you used to find all this money because the punters used to obviously drop all their money out of their drunk and sort of from the... And some weeks I used to find more than I earned in my pay packet.
Sweep in and collect a small fortune. Good on you, Shane. Beautifully done. Of course, the brothels have always been a big part of the tourism conversation and the scene in Kalgoorlie.
Yeah. Look, they certainly are, those tours, and I know my wife and I know Chrissy, a number of people that have done that tour. I would never do it myself.
What do you mean?
I would never do it, but there you go. Now, the interesting thing Shane raises about the gold in the streets is when it rains, most of the drains up there are spoon drains, and you will see people actually prospecting after a storm in the spoon drain, going through the dust, just looking for little bits of alluvial gold, just out there with their shovel, just sifting it, what's left. It's a remarkable town.
It is indeed. Hey, we've got a little bit of audio from 1978 from ABC Retro Focus talking about Cal. Let's have a listen.
About a lifetime ago, working on an allocation of 3 score and 10, camel trains used to haul through Kalgoorlie. Sometimes they'd have to do a U-turn, which explains why Hay Street and many others in this town are so wide. The camels are gone, of course, but Hay Street, the brothels, they're still there. As a street of paid for pleasure, its reputation probably exceeds the facts. That's how folklore is made. Especially now, this rather tired section of Kalgoorlie, arguably the biggest tourist attraction in the town, has only 4 houses. But what's happening to Hay Street now? Will this place that's so officially unofficial have to close up?
When was the last time you were back in Kalgoorlie?
The last time would have been round about 2018 or 19. 2019 was the last time I was there. A wonderful place.
Lots of change?
Look, I think even when I moved there, which was a quarter of a century ago, 1998, the Goldfields was undertaking a great change then, moving from more pubs to cafes and restaurants and a real cosmopolitan feel. And I think what a lot of people forget is, I've come in the visitor day to sort of highlight the mining side of things.
Yeah.
But within Kalgoorlie Boulder, there are 9 primary schools and 2 or 3 high schools and a big major hospital. So you've got a lot of other young people going out at night and seeking entertainment opportunities beyond just the stereotypical stuff that we think you need to go to the Goldfields for that Wild West sort of look. And you'll find pubs with those Wild West swinging doors. And I think I'd been in Kalgoorlie the first time I went up as an adult. I was there 5 minutes standing on that big intersection of Hannon and Maritana, and 2 guys came through the swinging doors of the Exchange Hotel and had a fight in the street.
Brilliant. So. John writes on 0437 922 720, the Kalgoorlie Town Hall and the Boulder Town Hall and the adjacent Military Museum are real treasures and definitely well worth visiting.
Boulder Town Hall in particular because of the Gocha Curtain.
Okay.
Which for a little bit of art, and you might think, what am I going to see here, a big curtain? So think of a curtain that comes down on the stage.
Yep.
This is the biggest and it's the last remaining usable stage hand-painted curtain in the world.
Wow.
So you can go there and the town hall itself is absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
But to see that curtain is really wonderful.
Cool. Rebecca in North Perth writes, short time in Cal, but absolutely life-changing. Did a brothel tour and that also was extremely eye-opening.
Mm. Yep. But they teach you how to Yeah, anyway.
Right. We'll leave that right there. The Super Pit.
The Super Pit. You know what? I wrote down some stats about the Super Pit here. And then just this morning, I looked at the little... It was a tourist book that I'd got on Kalgoorlie. But I realised it was 10 years old. So I went and did some research this morning to sort of see if it was still up to date. So I'd written that the Super Pit, and it's not a boast, it is a Super Pit. I'd written that it was 2 kilometres long. It's now nearly 4 kilometres long. So wow. in the last 10 years, we've doubled. It's still around 600 metres deep. They've kept the depth the size. And it will still take about 50 years to fill up with groundwater. But you could now fit Uluru in it.
Seriously.
Which is one of those new, I sort of went through kids' facts about the Super Pit. And so to contextualise it for kids.
Once upon a time it was how many swimming pools, but that won't work.
or the MCG.
Yeah, how many MCGs? That's the other good one.
But now we could get Uluru into the Super Pit. So, and the amazing thing for me is also I think the ore content, the gold ore, hasn't changed. So all of those trucks that never stop, they don't ever stop 24 hours a day, 1 in 7 has high-grade ore containing gold, and that one lucky truck may just have enough gold in it to fill a golf ball. So that scale that they are undertaking just to get that much gold.
And with the gold price the way it is.
So you can see why people are hanging out in the gutters trying to get what they can.
It's so mesmerising, though, as an operation, when you go up and go to the big viewing platform and have a look at the trucks. I did find myself surprisingly mesmerised just watching that, and then occasionally just to add as the big Tonka trucks are going round and round and round, you'd see this teeny tiny little light vehicle that needs, and you just watch the process from up there, and obviously there's communication going on the radios that you can't hear or anything, but you know that that's all going on, to watch the processes.
To watch a real mining operation and to look down the very bottom. And to see something to give you a perspective of size, like a big four-wheel drive that you might see driving around Perth, but to see that next to one of those vehicles. But the other thing you can do, get your timing right and be there for a blast.
Yes.
So they normally have, I think, 2 blasts a day.
Yep.
And the visitor centre at the Kalgoorlie Town Hall has the schedule there. Get up there half an hour beforehand and watch a blast and feel it.
Have a blast. Greg writes, I did a trip up and down in a dump truck at the Super Pit. God knows how those people do it for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to kind of observe that, but to be fully concentrating and in that for, 12-hour shift of going down ever so slowly.
Different life.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, even more slowly. What else have we missed in Kalgoorlie, Chris Parry?
Well, look, we've got Paddy Hannon statue, which has got a water bag drink fountain.
Make sure you get a happy snap.
The kids and get your snap there. The Miners Monument in Boulder is really important. I think the drill that the Miners Monument is using was once described to me as the Widowmaker. Really dangerous piece of equipment to be used, and that's worth looking at, and there's a really good plaque there just to understand more about what mining means in that area. Look, the wide streets, the historic pubs, get into the Palace Hotel where Hoover's Mirror is located, this enormous mirror where Herbert Hoover, who later became President of the United States, fell in love with a barmaid. When he left, he gave her this beautiful mirror. So that sits in the just inside the reception area of the Palace Hotel there. And a great place to stay. It's like old and historic and all the rest of it. And look at yourself in that mirror and take yourself back to times of old.
Chrissy's realised that she missed a couple of things, so she sent us a quick text. The feral camels used to eat through the communications cable for the ABC up there, and we would occasionally go off air as a result. Also remember, Chris, the outback dunnies would disappear down holes in the ground, which were old mine shafts that sat under the town. And Chrissy also pointing out that minerals for batteries will be the next golden find to keep the region going.
And those disappearing dunnies, there's over 3,000 underground kilometres of tunnels underneath Kalgoorlie. So the Super Pit took a lot out.
Yeah.
Because they were all individual, you know, mining claims at the time.
Yes.
So there's still lots of collapses. I remember when I lived out there was a front page in the Cal Miner. Someone had come outside their backyard and their clothesline and everything had disappeared, just dropped into nothingness. So the interesting thing when you mentioned the camels and on that audio grab was around the Afghan camel drivers, which is really interesting because there is a rotunda in Cal that was built in 1903 and people would come and listen to bands play under it. It's the biggest in WA and it has this onion dome spire and crescent moon on it, and it's inspired by that Muslim architecture.
Okay.
And perhaps perhaps just a tip of the hat to those Afghan camel drivers who travelled through the goldfield and would deliver supplies, you know, from the eastern states. So an Islamic-inspired rotunda, I can say out here in the goldfield, things are done differently.
Oh, they certainly do. One quick text. Kalgoorlie Museum of the Goldfields is running a poetry competition. It's asking people to send in poems inspired by its historic Dwyer and McKay collection. Check out www.dwyermckaycollection.net.
And also check out the Hannon's North Tourist Mine. There's a fellow there, Danny Sheehan, who runs a two-up school. So he hands out fake money and you learn how to play two-up and then you can go out to the real two-up shed just out of town.
Hi, Ro. I had the pleasure of being a parent supervisor on a Year 7 camp to Kalgoorlie 20 years ago, says Mike. 4 nights and 3 days. I definitely enjoyed it more than the kids. Saw everything. Cracked a good dad joke standing on the hill. Hey, we love our dad jokes here on Saturday Brekkie. Hey, kids, see the golden arches of McDonald's down there? That's where the first McNugget was found.
Oh.
We like to incorporate. Well, that's kind of what we do now on Weekend Explorer, is roll the dad joke in wherever we can. Very quickly, Chris Parry, why would you go weekend exploring in Kalgoorlie?
Look, it's distinctly and proudly Western Australian. It's the cradle of a boom that continues to attract dreamers and risk takers from all over the world. Out here in the goldfields, things are done differently.
They certainly are. Thank you very much, Chris Parry. We'll talk to you again next weekend. Sabrina Hahn in just a tick for Roots and Shoots.